What's going on, guys? Tom here, episode 146 of the MLS Aces podcast. This isn't going to be a traditional episode, no Jason, no Sam. It's just going to be me, Tom, talking with Eric Zavaleta of Toronto FC. We talk a little bit about life, a little bit about soccer, his career, maybe his plans going forward for a potential national team career. Funniest guy in the Toronto FC locker room, the guy that really leads the nightlife for TFC, and much, much more. So definitely stay tuned and check out this episode with me and Eric Zavaleta.
We are back, another episode of the MLS Aces podcast, and I'm joined with another player interview, center back for Toronto FC, Eric Zavaleta. Eric, how you doing today, man?
Yeah, I'm holding up. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you coming on for a little bit to talk a little life and a little soccer. But first, I got to ask, how have you been passing the time through all this quarantine living?
You know, it's been an interesting time. We have immediately almost 3 to 4 days after this, the season was canceled, postponed, whatever you want to call it, we got to work. So I've been on Zoom with the team working out. But for the rest of it, I just spent time with my dog around the house and catching up on some shows and movies that I had wanted to watch from before.
What have you been watching? That's always a good thing to know.
That's a great one. I'm a big fan of Billion, so I'm happy that popped back. So I did a full rewatch of that and caught up to that. And then obviously The Last Dance. I mean, Michael Jordan is a special athlete, and I think any athlete should be watching that right now.
This is a good point. I wanted to talk about this a little bit with someone. As a professional athlete, when you watch something like that, like, what goes through your mind when you see someone who, like, his mindset is on, like, I feel like a whole other level than, like, the normal average professional athlete? Like, when you watch that, like, what goes through your head?
Well, I think, you know, there's a reason he was successful. I think success is no coincidence. I think he shows you and you see inside a little bit of his mentality and how competitive he was. I think I've seen characteristics of that in some highly successful players that I've played with. And so it's interesting to see. But, you know, like I said, I think when you finish one of those episodes, you want to run through a wall for him, you know. And he certainly had his own unique style of trying to bring out the best in people. But ultimately, he had one goal, one objective, and that was to win. And the last episode you saw, he's not going to shy away from the work either. So to be able to see somebody do it, but also preach winning, there's a reason that he was 6-0 in the finals. And like I said, it's no coincidence.
So you're from Indiana, obviously Indiana, very big basketball state. And, you know, just Indianapolis, I feel like in general, very big basketball town. I know you're not directly from Indianapolis, but are you a big basketball fan?
Absolutely. I played all the way up until high school. And then I even tried out to play for the basketball team my freshman year to keep continuing on. And at that point, my dad sort of sat me down and was like, listen, I love basketball too, but you're going to have to make a decision here going forward if you really want to be successful in one of the two. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, you have a choice to make and it's yours to make. And I decided that soccer was the path I saw the most success in going forward and was a sport I loved. And so I had to stop, but I'm an avid fan of the game. I watch the NBA religiously. I follow the sport a ton. And like you said, I mean, if you don't see a basketball hoop in the driveway of someone in Indianapolis, then it's a rarity. So it's a town that's embraces basketball like no other. But as I continued to grow up, soccer became to grow. So it was fun to be a part of.
Pacers fan. Gotcha. I'm a Knicks fan, so I mean, I can't say anything about professional basketball, but so you went to Indiana University. I'm gonna guess you attended a few basketball games there, maybe some NCAA tournaments.
I did, and they were quite good actually when I was there. I mean, I remember vividly actually, I wasn't at the game where they beat Kentucky in the last second, but I was just around the block and sprinted and stormed the court. So I had some friends on the team. It was a blast to watch and for them to make a run. Like I said, the state of Indiana, they get behind their basketball team like no other, and it was a fun time to be a part of it.
So I was talking to some of the guys over here at MLS Aces, and one of them wanted me to ask you an Indiana basketball question. I asked, you know, if anyone had any questions for you, and he went Indiana basketball, which I thought was funny. But he wanted to know if you think the Hoosiers will ever make an NCAA tournament again.
I love it. That's a great banter question. Of course they will. I mean, listen, the pipeline of players is too deep, is too strong, and you know, we haven't been able to get there since I was there. But I think, like I said, the amount of talent you see coming out, you can see it throughout the NBA, you can see it throughout college landscape. We needed something and someone to bring it to glory, and I'm sure it's coming soon.
So you said, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, like Indiana's, I feel like a lot of people associate Indiana to be like a basketball state, right? But when you were growing up and even kind of, you know, going through high school and figuring out that you wanted to focus on soccer, what's like the soccer landscape around the state of Indiana?
Well, it was interesting because I think it was definitely growing. I think there were more and more clubs popping up and more competitive players popping up. I think early on when I was youngest, there wasn't tons of players going to college. And I think if my generation was the quote unquote golden generation, and we kind of knew it, we had won the national championship with ODP as a state, which was something that nobody expected Indiana to do. And in general, I think just our generation was very strong, and we pushed each other, and we have had guys who have gone on to have good success because of it. And so it grew a lot. And my dad was the coach for my generation, for most of us, and we shared a lot of success. So I think hopefully we've helped propel that the game of soccer to grow more in the state and show that you can have success stories coming out of a basketball state, if you will. And ultimately I went to a school where they have, are rich in soccer history as well. And so we tried to carry that torch. I think we did it well, and I only expect big things going forward for the state.
I mean, that's great to hear. And I mean, in honesty, like you've mentioned your dad a few times, and I wanted to kind of ask about him a little bit. I'm going to take a guess and say he was a pretty big influence in your life. Obviously played for the El Salvador national team, spent some time in America playing soccer, and also your uncle, right, is Greg Vanney, who's your current head coach. I mean, I'm sure your family's had a major impact on you know, your development and you kind of focusing on soccer and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, huge. Listen, I never was alive when my dad was playing professional, but he played professional in ASL back in the day and in the indoor soccer league, which was big at the time, and had some success, and unfortunately had to stop playing because of injury, but stayed around the sport. And actually, in the few years before we headed to Indiana, was coaching in Arizona and actually coached Greg, and that's how my parents met. And then from then on, it was really me watching Greg's career and how that began. And it was the beginning of MLS, really. And so I was watching more MLS than the average, and I got to attend games, I got to attend practices, I got to be around the professional environment, and it's given me a leg up, I think, going forward, and it's been a motivation for me to try to follow in their footsteps with becoming a professional soccer player.
That's pretty cool that your parents met through your dad coaching Greg. That's a very cool story. But like, so you've kind of got to hear, you know, word of mouth from your dad about, you know, his time playing in the NASL, the indoor league. And then, like you said, you probably watched MLS straight from the beginning. Do you feel like, you know, I don't know, like, what's your comprehension of like the game in America, right? Because you're hearing the stories from your dad and kind of how soccer was and how it's transitioned to today until 20, like to 2020. What's your view of the game in America?
Well, it's definitely grown. I think my dad played in a time which was almost like MLS 1.0, 2.0, where big stars were coming, right? Like the Pelés and Johan Cruyffs of the world were coming and trying to popularize the game in the States. And, you know, I think the game's only grown since. I think we've got more talented players now than we've ever had before. And I think the league is a microcosm of that. I think it's grown tremendously. From when Greg was in it to where it is now. And I think I've had many discussions with my dad about the game and how different it looks now. And he'd be the first to tell you that the game is just faster. The players are bigger, stronger, more athletic and sharper. And so I think that's just an element of time. It's certainly not where we want it to be at the moment as a country. I think we believe we can strive for more success, but we believe and he would say it's trending in the right direction, and we're certainly developing more talented players that are having some success home and abroad.
And I mean, speaking of talented players, you're one yourself, right? I mean, like, you clearly were set up for success having your dad, you know, be around you your entire life and your entire soccer development. And then Greg Vanney, you know, one of the best defenders this country has ever really seen on the national team level. Like, you were set up for success. When you're in, like, you know, the training session with Greg now, is that something that's, like, awkward? Maybe it was in the beginning, but now it's just kind of like he's been your coach. Like, this is, you know, usual?
You know, it's an interesting question, and one that is, you know, I'm going to take you back a little bit. When I was in high school, I was in residency program for my sophomore and junior year of high school. And at that point, Greg really started to take some extra attention on me. He started to watch me a bit more, started to pay attention to my path and my career, because he saw that I had a chance to become a professional and he wanted to try to impact me. And so from then, it was ultimately the question that is obviously been dispelled now, but at that time was big, which was, are you a center back or are you a forward? And so I went back to high school my senior year. Even though Greg didn't want me to, he didn't believe high school soccer was the best for my development at that time. But I went back, I played for my fall semester, and then I was able to graduate early. So from then, I actually went and moved in with Greg and lived with him in Arizona, and when he had founded the Real Salt Lake Academy team. And so I was able to learn from him then and be coached by him then, and obviously then picking up in 2015 when I joined Toronto. So he's been coaching me for such a long time. I think if you were to ask anyone in that locker room, many people don't even know. Didn't know, I mean, until it became public that we were family. I think it's not awkward for me. I don't think it's awkward for them. He certainly made my career very successful, but at the same time, very difficult. And so he'll be the first to push me. He'll be the first to sit down and tell me, this is what you need to do. And he wants me to get better just as much, if not more, than other players, and he'll push me as much because of it. And so if anything, it's made my path maybe a little bit more difficult, but it's been in the long run has made me better because of it.
Yeah, I can understand that. I played high school, like, you know, American football, and led up into, you know, a potential college career that, whatever, injuries get in the way, but like, my dad was my coach for the longest time, and you get a little angry with them in the moment, especially when you're a little bit younger. But then as you get older, you understand, you know, how they push you and how they really mold you towards, you know, success, right? And I can understand that completely.
And it's something that I dealt with my dad as well, right? Like, my dad was my coach, and oftentimes I would chirp back at him, like you said, when I was younger. He kicked me out of, we used to practice in my neighborhood, actually on a field in my neighborhood with my club team, and he kicked me out of practice if I talked back to him there, and I had to walk home. So I learned respect in that fashion. But at the same time, even when I was 14, 15 years old, when I was significantly better than some of my peers, there were still peers that were saying, I'm only playing because my dad is the coach. So yeah, it has motivated me my entire life to push and push further to dispel this myth, this thought, you know? And so like I said, it's been something that's actually been helpful for me, I think, in the long run, but it's difficult, especially as a young kid at the time, to deal with.
Yeah, and I mean, those walks homes after getting kicked out of practice, those are a fun walk home.
Exactly.
To the house, opening up the door, and you're like, ugh, I have to see him. But no, I completely get that. I kind of want to transition over to your professional career a little bit. And you know, you got your shot in Major League Soccer, getting drafted 10th overall by the Sounders in 2013. And I mean, you have a nice history with the Seattle Sounders now, being part of TFC and playing them in 3 MLS Cups, you know, having your success with TFC. What's your, like, do you have any type of, like, feeling towards the Seattle Sounders organization because you guys have played, like, such important games with them, but then on the flip side, like, they kind of, you know, gave you that chance to start your career?
Yeah, it's a funny question, and it's one that I don't think I have any specific, you know, I think when I was younger and I was starting my career, I think I had a little bit of animosity towards the club and even towards Ziggy to an extent, because I didn't feel like they really ever gave me a real opportunity. My rookie year, I played 5, maybe 6 games, and I think that totaled to around 30 minutes. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I wasn't ready for the league at that time, physically, mentally, and sharpness. I just wasn't ready. I was trying to figure out what position I was. I had gone from being a forward in college to playing in the preseason as a center back, and then moving later that year into as a forward. I was sort of in between positions, and they were a team that was a win now team. And so now if you look at my career now and take a step back, like you're saying, and say that, you know, we've been in 3 finals and 3 of them are against that club, it's ironic more than anything. I don't feel any towards the hate towards them. I think certainly, they stole one from us in 2017. I was on the field. I can tell you that firsthand. That's how it felt at the time, and that's how it feels in revisionist history. And so, if anything, it sucks, but I'm happy for them. It's an organization that is top-notch and a fan base that deserves all the success they've had.
When you guys are in the locker room and getting ready for a game, which type of – like, you're heading into a game against Seattle, or you're heading into a game against the Impact, which – kind of pregame in the locker room kind of hype up are you guys like getting extra ready for? Is it another game against Seattle because of, you know, the history that you guys have with them, or is it that, you know, Canadian Classic Montreal Impact rivalry?
You know, I would say it's probably the Impact, purely for 2 reasons. One, we play them much more often. Seattle, if you're playing them, it's once a year and then potentially in the final. And obviously a final, there's no pump up in the locker room prior to like that. But in terms of a regular game, it's the Impact. And I think the second thing that makes a big part of that is our fan base and their hate for Montreal. And so it's created a rivalry for sure in some classics that I've been fortunate to be a part of. So, you know, I think if there's one team we try to get up for the most, it's them, because the last thing we want to do is let our fans down and lose to them and give Montreal something to cheer about.
I've never had the opportunity until now to speak to someone who has been on a Chivas USA roster. And I don't, you know, you don't have to get into super details about anything that was like bad going on, but how was it being part of that organization? Because, you know, clearly, you know, and everyone who knows Major League Soccer knows that Chivas USA didn't have the most success in MLS history.
Yeah, so it's funny because I was a part of it actually unofficially when I had left the Real Salt Lake Academy, and I was just before I was going to college. I was in that locker room for 6 months when Robin Fraser was the head coach. And that team had a lot of MLS veterans, and they tried to do things the right way. Unfortunately, even at that time, didn't have a ton of success. Obviously, that was a time when spending was becoming prevalent in the league, and they didn't do it. And so then fast forward to 2014, when I chose to go on loan there, it was because Wilmer Cabrera, someone who was my U-17 national team coach, was a head coach there, and I knew he saw me at the position I felt like was best as a center back. And I felt like it was an opportunity to get playing time. I didn't care so much at that time about how successful our team was going to be, but more so, am I going to play? Can I grow here? And I think I did. I think you're right. They didn't have a ton of success their entire time here. I don't think that the league and that city latched on to the idea that they were trying to achieve, which was to basically be Chivas in America and to attract those Mexican players and those Mexican fans. And so because of that, there were less than 5,000 fans in the stadiums at most times. And we attracted players like Bofo, Hernandez, or guys that were past their prime, versus the Chicharitos who are coming to MLS now. And so it was something that, like my first spell there, there were a lot of MLS veterans that I could learn from, like a Dan Kennedy or a Heath Pierce or a Carlos Barcanegra. Mm. And so I took it for what it was. I learned as much as I could. I played next to Carlos Bocanegra that year, maybe 10, 15 times. And so it was an important step in my career. But if you look back at the legacy of that team, especially in this league, it's not a pretty one. And I think the league was spot on to step in and to rebrand that club and turn it into now one of the most important clubs in the league, in LAFC.
Yeah, for sure. And you go on from your time at Chivas, and in 2015 you end up with Toronto FC, which I mean I think it's been the longest time, the most games you've played in your career. And I mean, tell me if I'm wrong, but probably your more fun times playing soccer as a professional. But you've raised MLS Cups, you've raised the Supporters Shield, Canadian Championships. Just not even like the importance of the trophy, but which trophy that you raised had like the best feeling behind it as like a team and for you personally?
That's a tough question, and one that I think you're right. I've had more success than I could have ever dreamed of. When I got moved here in 2015, Ziggy, like I said, I think sort of had given up on me and wasn't really sure what position I was, and so he tried to find clubs that were interested in me, and he helped. To be fair to him, and something I'll always be thankful for him for, was that he let me help choose where I wanted to go. And I knew, with Wilmer, that Greg would not only give me an opportunity if I deserved it, but would also try to set me up for success. And that's what he did. And so I've been more than fortunate for my time here. I've seen this club grow in ways I couldn't imagine. My first year here, they had never made the playoffs, and that jubilation of just making the playoffs for the first time was incredible. But then turning around to the next 2 weeks later, we lose 3-0 in Montreal and season's done. And so it didn't end the way we wanted to. I think the path of my career here has been redemption from the season prior to. And so that leads me to probably my favorite moment, which was MLS Cup 2018. A tough moment for me personally because I had played 33 games that season of the 34, had played many of those playoff games, and then got dropped for the final because we changed formation from a 3-5-2 to a 4-4-2. And so it was tough for me at the time, but to avenge our as a team loss the year prior, to win at home, to do it with that group of guys, which I believe is the most special group of guys to ever see, to ever play in this league, was special. And it's something I'll never forget. I think the Supporters Shield shows a culmination of an entire season. So that one's incredibly important. I think all of those trophies that year were important, were a part of our revenge tour, if you want to call it that, but lifting that 2018 trophy, in front of our fans, or 2017 trophy in front of our fans, was special.
The TFC revenge tour. I love it. So I want to ask some quick fire questions for you now. So current day TSC roster, who's the funniest guy in that locker room?
Josie.
Okay, I can see that. When you guys are chilling in the locker room, who has the aux cord? Who controls the aux cord?
Ooh, you know what? We actually have an assistant coach named Jason Bent, who has been at the club for a long time, and he's a little DJ. So he actually has taken the aux cord as of the last year or so. But prior to that, it was Jay Chapman for the longest time. But now he's in Miami, and JB has stepped up to the plate.
All right. And then the last teammate question I have is: you guys are going out for a night in Toronto. Who's orchestrating everything? Who's the Ooh. Leader of going out?
So if it's a team dinner, it's probably Michael Bradley, Josie, myself. And then if it's a night out, it's probably Alex Bona.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't have expected Alex Bona.
Yeah. He's a guy that guys are drawn to a bit, and also has his finger on the pulse, but also loves the night out.
All right. I have another question from a guy over here at MLS Aces. He knows your connection to El Salvador, right, with your dad. And he wanted me to ask, and I am, I'm an extreme white guy, so I'm sorry if I butcher this, but he said, you use a fork and knife to eat your pupusas, or do you use your hands?
That's a good question. I actually use a fork and knife, and my dad does as well. I believe many people probably do use their hands. I've been on a tour for the longest time since I've been in Toronto to try to find some good ones. I found maybe one place, surprisingly, in such a cultural town. But, I mean, if you've never had pupusas, you should try them.
I'm on it. That's my next thing. I'll try once all of this stuff calms down a little bit. But he said there's no wrong answer, so I'll go for
okay,
that.
Okay, good.
You mentioned, your connection to El Salvador a few times with your dad and everything. I know you played your youth soccer for the U.S., but you're still in your prime. You're still playing well. Is there any type of interest on your behalf to play for the El Salvadorian national team?
Another great question. I have been courted by them since, I think the first time was when I was at Chivas USA in 2014. So it's been a while. They've been asking for the longest time. They've gone through maybe 3 to 4 coaches since they asked me the first time. And for the longest time, I was, hopeful that I was having some success in MLS and that I could at least get my opportunity with the US. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened as a senior national team player. And so it's become more and more of an interesting question in my head. And now that they're in position to potentially make the hex and to potentially have an opportunity to qualify, it's been something that's been on the forefront of my mind and something that I've had numerous discussions with them about prior to this coronavirus epidemic happening. And so it's something that I probably would have ruled out a few years ago, but I'm no longer ruling out, and I'm exploring, and we'll see.
Personally, I'm just telling you, I'd love to see it. I'd love to see some MLS talent going everywhere and playing in CONCACAF like that. My final question for you, Eric, when you're not training, you're not playing soccer, where can people find you? Like, are you a golfer? Are you a fisherman? Everyone has their own thing. What do you like to do?
I do golf. I'm terrible, but I love to golf. Drew Moore was my golf partner for a long time. Unfortunately, he's gone. But yes, I'm a golfer. I love to, like I said earlier, I love to watch the NBA. I love to watch basketball. And I got a dog a couple of years ago, so I'm out walking her or hanging out with her. She's been a great gift, especially during this time, to get me outside and to, have something to do and take care of. So that's usually my three things.
All right, very cool. Well, I'm terrible at golf too. I think I shot like an 80 through 9 holes like a few weeks back. So, that's how you do it.
Exactly. Listen, Michael Jordan wasn't the best golfer in the world, but he did it all the time and he bet on himself every time. So if Michael Jordan can go and bet on himself and have fun and not be the best at it, then so can I.
Honestly, just give me a day of golf, a cigar, a few beers, and I'm happy. I'm a happy guy.
I'm with you.
All right, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on, spending some time talking a little life, a little soccer, and getting to know you a little bit better. So thank you very much, man.
Thanks for having me, and stay safe.
Appreciate it. You too.